We continue our studies in the book of James. Follow along as I read, beginning at verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Loving Lord and our Heavenly Father, we pray that you give us strength to faithfully proclaim your word. Father, guard us from anything that would be man's opinion. And Lord, the scripture is very clear that the enemy is always lurking, Satan himself, to snatch away the word out of the heart. And so, Father, we want to be good listeners today, and not merely listeners, but doers of the word of truth. Father, we thank you for giving us this revelation of yourself, of your truth. Now bless it as it goes forth, in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. We're several days into the new year. I don't know about you, but saying 2010 or 2010 has some kind of a different ring. I don't know. It's just another year. But it struck me that we are rapidly moving along in time. But a new year is a natural opportunity for an assessment of ourselves, how we're doing. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you try to get an annual physical? And I know you young people, that's the farthest thing from your mind. You don't need an annual physical, but some of us, you know, older ones, we think that every so often it's good to get a physical, to take an assessment of how we're doing. Sometimes those tests they give reveal that there's things going on inside us silently that we weren't aware of. And a physical brings that out. Have you ever thought of an annual spiritual? You think of annual physicals. How about an annual spiritual? Well, let's not wait for the annual New Year to come around. For a spiritual, we should be assessing ourselves day by day how we're doing. But a new year is a time to assess and to take stock of where we're at. James is very practical. This book is filled with practical things for our lives, and we're going to uncover more of them as we go through our study. But it's clear that the people to whom James was writing, Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, the assemblies that they were gathered in throughout the world of that day, they were having problems in their assemblies. James is going to reveal in this book that there was favoritism being shown. They were favoring those who had more means, and they were neglecting those who had lesser means. There was jealousy, selfish ambition. There were divisions and quarrels. There were problems with the tongue. Probably any place where God's people gather and assemble in a church, you are going to have problems with the tongue. The Word of God says so much about our speech, talking against and about one another, gossip, and so on. Beloved, we need to listen more, talk less, and deal with the anger and the resentments that come from when we talk more than we think, and talk more than we listen. Unity is very important. Proverbs 10:19 says, "Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. That is great counsel. That is godly biblical counsel for a marriage, for a friendship. It's needed counsel. I came across this little poem this week. Listen to it. If all we say in a single day, with never a word left out, were written each night in clear black and white, it would make strange reading, no doubt. And then just suppose, before our eyes would close, we had to read the whole record through. Then wouldn't we sigh, and wouldn't we try, a great deal less talking to do? And I more than half think that many a kink would be smoother in life's tangled thread if half that I say in a single day were to be left forever unsaid. I don't know about you, but that hits a little close. Too many things that I've said I wish I could take back. But note the context here. What is the context in which this verse, verse 19, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry? What is the surrounding context? And context is all important when we come to Bible study. The context, beloved, is the Word of God. Look at verse 118, right ahead of verse 19. In the exercise of His will, it says, He, God, brought us forth, caused us to be born again by the Word of truth, the Gospel, the Scripture. And then you go to verse 21, and it says that we are to receive the Word implanted. That's the Scripture, the Word of God, that has been implanted in your heart when you were saved. When the seed of the Word of truth, the Gospel, was sown in your heart, now receive the Word of God. The context here is the Word. Look at verse 22. Prove yourselves to be doers of the Word. Verse 25, it talks about the perfect law of liberty. It's the Word of God. It becomes rather apparent that James here, in this text on being quick to hear, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, in the context, he's talking about more than our interpersonal relationships with one another and how we too often speak too much and speak inappropriately. As important as that is, James is in the context here referring to our attitudes towards Scripture and our attitudes towards the Word of God. James here is teaching us how we are to relate to God and His requirements of us in the Word of God. We who say we know the truth, we who believe in Jesus Christ and say we believe the truth, are we quick to proclaim the truth to others but not pay attention to it ourselves? Hence the title of our message today, Listen Up. Hear God's Word to us today. Now, so in these three verses, and we're just going to look at three verses today, 19, 20, excuse me, and 21, which speak about how we receive the Word of God. And next week, Lord willing, we'll talk in verse 22 and following about how we practice the Word and do the Word, not merely be hearers. But today, the Word of God is concerned with how we are hearing the Word with a prepared heart. You remember the parable of the sower that Jesus taught in Matthew and Luke. The sower went out to sow the word, and he said, to sow the seed. And the seed was a picture of the gospel and the word of truth. And some fell in good soil and bore fruit, and others didn't. And that's the implanted word. When you were saved, when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, it was through the gospel that was sown in your heart through the Holy Spirit. But now, the concern of these verses is, having received the new birth through the gospel, how are you receiving that implanted word? How are you growing through that word? The question is the word bearing abundant fruit in your life and mine? Are you spiritually further along than you were last year at this time? Is the word bearing fruit? Or have you slipped the spiritual disciplines of your quiet time? Pastor Mike challenged us powerfully last week from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly and so on, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It's very interesting that God providentially has brought us to this text in James, which is about the Word of God again, here at the beginning of the year. I think God has a message for us about Scripture. How are you doing with anger and a critical spirit? Has a critical spirit and a bitter spirit, a resentful spirit, somehow settled in your soul and it's coloring your relationships? Spirit of unforgiveness. James says, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. If we're going to make progress spiritually in this new year, James tells us, here's what's necessary now to move from the new birth to progress in the new life. Five things regarding our relationship to the Word. Number one, be quick to hear. Pretty obvious from verse 19. Let everyone be quick to hear. Open your ears. Open your ears. It was the Word of God that brought you life when the seed was sown in your heart. But now, let that seed grow. Let it grow. Let it blossom by hearing the Word of God. In the early church, they didn't have personal copies of Scripture. You know, we forget that they would come to the assembly and someone would stand up and they'd unroll a scroll and someone would read the Word of God. And so this teaching was especially important. Let every one of you be quick to hear the Scripture. When you come to the assembly on Sunday, the Lord's Day, or whenever you would come, are you attentive to the Word of God? Are you listening? Are you hearing it? We sing that chorus, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We could just as well sing, open the ears of my heart, Lord, that I might hear your word. Hear your word. Let every one of you be quick to hear. How are you doing at hearing the word of God? It's Sunday morning. Did you come prepared? Did you pray, oh God, open my ears that I might hear? Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from your truth. Do you seek to stay focused and really listen? I realize sometimes the problem is the preacher. Okay? Problem is not the listener. But let me ask this. If some in the congregation are growing and some are excited about the Word of God and fruit is being produced in their life, but you're bored, maybe the problem isn't the preacher. Maybe the problem is the soil in your heart. Remember, Jesus talked about four soils in that parable. So, are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you tuned in? Or are you tuned out? It's a classic, but years ago in the little church, Sunday morning, I was standing at the back greeting people. One of the members came by and said, took my hand, great sermon, Pastor, great sermon. The only problem was I hadn't preached that day. Honestly, folks, I don't know quite how to take that. But I think that dear person thought that I had preached that day. Are we tuned in? Are you quick to hear? To help you, you need to have a Bible open in front of you. Very simple. Do you bring a Bible to church? Do you bring a Bible? You know, you can tell a lot about churches by sitting out in the parking lot of a church and seeing how many people carry a copy of God's Word with them. You can go to a church, liberal church, that doesn't have a high view of Scripture, and the vast percentage of them don't carry a copy of God's Word with them. We are a Bible church. Do you have a copy of Scripture with you? You see, it's very helpful to help you listen, to have it open on your knees, and you need to be checking the pastor. And it'll help you if you have a pen and you underline something, you circle something, you put an exclamation point beside something. Are you aware that in the bulletin we put copies of note paper with a little outline to help you take notes? You may not know because there's only one in there per bulletin. And I know families share bulletins, you know, save paper and so on. Therefore, we put extra copies of the notes of the sermon outline out on the round counter out there. And I'm thinking that next week after this sermon, they're going to be all gone because you all are going to go out there and make sure you get one of those outlines to take notes. Now, it's just a tool. It's just a tool to help you listen. But it says here in the context of Scripture, let everyone be quick to hear. Last Sunday, Pastor Mike challenged us to commit to a plan in 2010 of Bible reading. And I trust that you're going to make some kind of commitment. You're going to read something in the Word of Scripture. Maybe it's getting through the New Testament this year. Maybe it's the whole Word of God. You have that insert, I believe, in there again this week to indicate. But is your goal just to move the bookmark through the Bible, just to check off? See, you can read the Word without really hearing the Word. So have an attentive spirit when you read. Let me tell you, story on myself. I mean, I'm ashamed sometimes. It happened recently. I read a chapter. I came to the end. And honestly, brothers and sisters, I had to say, what did I just read? What did I just read? And I would have been hard-pressed to tell you. I don't know where my mind was. I said, God, forgive me. And I went back and read it again. And you look for a sin to avoid, a promise to claim, a truth to be believed, something to obey. You're tuned in. Let every man be quick to hear, to listen. Secondly, when we come to the Scripture, how do we relate to it? Quick to hear, quick to listen. Secondly, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Control your tongue. This doesn't mean when the Scripture here says, let everyone be slow to speak, it doesn't mean speak slowly. Although that's not a bad idea for those of us that like to go like that. But it really means talk less. Most of us do far too much talking and not enough thinking. We're enamored with the sound of our voice. And the more we talk, the less we have to think. But remember, the context here is Scripture. Let everyone be quick to hear the word of truth and slow to speak. What is James saying? What James seems to be saying is be careful about arguing with Scripture. Be careful about arguing with God and what He has in His Word. See, our natural tendency, because we still carry with us this flesh, this old sin nature, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. The natural tendency of our hearts towards God's Word is to be slow to hear it and quick to speak and rationalize our disobedience and question Scripture. We say things like this because we're not slow to speak. We say things like this. I know it says that, but it can't mean that. I mean, that's unreasonable. That's impossible. You can't expect me to forgive them for that. I mean, times have changed. Surely, God doesn't mean that women are not to teach men in the church. Surely, it can't mean that. God doesn't expect me to respond like that. That really hurt. I have every right to think like this, to do this after what they did to me. And we speak, we argue with Scripture. And James says, let every man, when you come to the Word, be quick to hear, slow to speak. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm still going to do it. I've had people tell me that. I know what it says. I'm going to do it anyway. So we argue with the Word. The Word of God says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Thirdly, be slow to anger. Be slow to become angry. You see, in relationships, when we are not quick to hear, to listen, and we don't think before speaking, anger can erupt. I've seen it happen in churches, in business meetings, in counseling sessions. It's so sad. It's dishonoring to the Lord. Short words, hasty tempers are the marks of a fool. The Bible says, Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Interpersonal relationships. But remember, our context is what? The Word of God. James is warning us. Don't become angry at God and His Word, because it reveals sometimes your sin to you. I've seen it happen. Is there any illustration in Scripture of people getting angry when confronted? Sure. Let me just pick one. King David, 2 Samuel 12. David had committed that awful sin of adultery and then trying to cover it up by having the husband murdered. God sends the prophet Nathan to David. Nathan begins to tell the king, King David, a story. David, there was this rich man who had many flocks, and there was a poor man who had one little lamb. The rich man was going to have a feast. Guests were coming. Instead of taking one of his own flock and killing it, he went and took the one little ewe lamb of the poor man and slaughtered it for his guests. And David rose up in anger. In anger. David got angry at the wrong man. Because Nathan said, David, you're the man. You're the man, king, all of your possessions, all of your riches, your wives, and you took one man's wife. David, thankfully, said, I have sinned, but he became angry initially. And that is what we so often do. We get angry at others. We get angry. We get angry at God. When confronted, there's times I've had to deal with people, and this isn't delightful. It's one of the hardest things of spiritual leadership and pastoring is when you sense the need to go to a brother or sister that is enmeshed in some sin or there's a blind spot, and you're called to go. And as I said, it's not anything that we relish. But in obedience to Scripture, we try to go in the spirit of love and a spirit of gentleness, restoring them, lest we too be tempted. And I've had it happen on a few occasions. Begin to deal with people about an area of sin. And the face begins to get red, and the neck veins begin to bulge out. And sometimes the finger has come in my face. Like this. The index finger pointing. Don't you tell me. Who are you to tell me what to do? When you are reproved by someone, how do you respond? There's a verse that's been very helpful to me. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer a fool, lest he hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. And when I myself have been rebuked at times and reproved about something, I've said, God, help me to be wise and not a fool, to hear the kernel of truth in this rebuke. Why is this so important? That when we come to the Word of God, we be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why is this so important? Look at verse 20. Because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The anger of man, the fleshly anger of man, does not accomplish the righteous life that God desires, that God requires. Now, there is a righteous anger against sin, and this is not easy because there is so much happening in our world that causes us to just cry out sometimes in frustration at what's going on, whether it's in this country or whether it's in the church or whatever. And we are to hate sin. And Jesus at times expressed righteous indignation and righteous anger. It was appropriate. But as you study the Gospels, it seems like it was rare. But our anger so often is not righteous anger. We get all incensed and we just vent against the situation. We justify our anger because people deserve to be told off for their crazy ways of doing stuff and their crazy decisions. And we think we're justified in becoming angry. But it says the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I have heard pastors. I have been in churches where it seems the pastor in the pulpit, it seems like he's angry. He's just preaching in anger. I think of this verse, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You can't be angry in the pulpit. You can't be angry in the pew. If you have an issue with me, beloved, you need to come and talk to me. Because if you have a resentment against me or anyone that's up here ever preaching or teaching, and you have an issue of anger, that's going to just stop and quench and bottle up the Holy Spirit from doing what God wants to do in your heart through the Word. Because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God in our lives. Animosity towards others, animosity towards God, does not produce behavior that is pleasing to God. I have something here that I clipped out of the Sioux City Journal this week. It just saddens me. And I confess to you feelings of anger and just disgust. And a lot of it isn't righteous anger on my part. But it's this church in Topeka, Kansas, and they were protesting down here in Bellevue, Nebraska. And there's a picture here of this member of the church from Topeka, and they're the ones that go and protest at the funerals of soldiers. And they're holding pickets, and they have a picture here of this AP story. And here's what some of the pickets say. God hates Nebraska. Thank God for dead soldiers. God hates you. If I encounter a picket line like that someday, I'm going to, hopefully in the control of the Spirit, I want to go up and say something like this. Sir, ma'am, you profess to be a church member. You profess to believe in Jesus Christ. Why is it that you are filled with such hatred and such anger? And secondly, do you have a Bible? Would you read James 1:20? The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Listen, another illustration. Abortion. Our hearts should break. We should weep tears for this Holocaust in our nation. But is the answer to stand outside an abortion clinic and yell angry epithets at the doctors and the workers? James 1:20 says, the anger of man does not achieve the righteous behavior God desires. This word anger does not refer, there are a couple basic words in the original language for anger. There's one that speaks of like a volcano erupting, like explosion type anger. This is the other word. It speaks of just a kind of a settled underlying feeling of resentment and anger and bitterness that is just there, and it colors life and it taints the soul and those around this person. You may be repulsed by those stories I just gave, but let me ask, is your anger some kind of resentment, something that's happened to you way in the past, and you've never dealt with it, you've never forgiven, and there's resentment and there's anger? I'm telling you, God says that anger is going to bottle you up, and it will not achieve the righteous life that God desires. You need to confess it. Release it to God. Seek help. Seek counsel. We'd love to help you. Fourth thing we need to do in relation to the Word so that we'll grow is to put away all sin. Verse 21. Pastor Mike talked on this last week. We won't elaborate, but notice verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted. See, there it is again. The word was sown in your hearts at the new birth. The gospel, the seed of the gospel was sown in your hearts. Now you need to receive that implanted word. You need to pull out those weeds. You need to deal with that sin that is going to keep you from growing, that is going to keep you and keep the word from doing all that Christ wants to do in your life. So James says you need to put aside all filthiness, that's moral filth, all of the stuff that's dirty, that's tainted. Put it away. Whatever dirties your mind, put it away. Pastor Mike talked about the media and all of that last week, so we won't belabor that. Let me just comment on this. There is something in our culture, in our church in America, relatively maybe small segment at this time, but it's pastors who think that to connect with people, to connect with parishioners, to connect with those in the world, they have to speak in some kind of crude fashion, in some kind of vulgar fashion, in some kind of fashion that's inappropriate. Suggestive stories, etc., etc. And I'm telling you, James says, put aside all filthiness. Put in your notes Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Verse 4 says, there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Zero tolerance for impurity. God doesn't say, pray about it. He says, get rid of it. Sometimes one of the brothers will come up to me before the service and they'll say, Fred, what's that on your back? And they'll start brushing. What'd you lean into? I said, I don't know, maybe a chalkboard or something. You know, what you're leaning against has a way of sticking and it's seen by others. Be careful what you're leaning against. James says, put aside all filth and all that remains of wickedness, of malice, of the desire to hurt others. Deal with it. Hebrews 12:15 says, see that no root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and many be defiled. Hebrews 12:15. Receive the word implanted. Why plant a garden and not deal with the weeds? That's foolish to put good seed in the soil and then you just let the weeds grow. That's sort of the picture here. The word that's been implanted in your hearts through the gospel. Now get rid of the filth. Get rid of the weeds that are choking the fruitful ministry of the word. See that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. Do you have some bitterness today? Resentment against someone or something? Would you deal with that? Would you get together with someone and resolve it? Seek help if you need that. And then lastly, number five, to grow in the new life, we need to humble ourselves. Humble yourself before the Lord. It says, in humility, receive the word. Humility, the opposite of pride. Humility means you have a teachable spirit. When the word comes, you don't resist it. Who do you think you are? But see, humility says, Lord, a teachable spirit. I'm listening. Help me to do your will, O Lord. Teachable spirit. So necessary for spiritual leaders. So necessary in our homes, in our families, in our church. Why is this so important? Because it's the word implanted, notice, which is able to save your souls. We need to know that James is talking more here than just about saving us from the penalty of sin. See, there are three aspects of salvation, at least. There's past tense. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, forgiven. But there's a present aspect of salvation. I am being saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I am being saved from the power of sin through the Word of God. It's the Word that is able to save your souls. But there is a future aspect. I will be saved from the very presence of sin. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed, when we see Jesus. It's the Word of God that is able to save our souls. We have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. Are you saved? As we close this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you come to the foot of the cross in faith and repentance? Beloved, you're here this morning. Do you know Christ? What are you trusting in for salvation? Christ and Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. Do you know Him? Do you agree, beloved, that we all need to listen more and speak less with one another and with the Word of God? In 2010, may we commit to hearing the Word, to doing the Word, submitting ourselves to the Word. Our homes, our lives, our church will be blessed. It'll be life-changing. If you have a spiritual need, beloved, listen. If you have a spiritual need, I'm going to be down here. Come. If you'd like to pray, if you want to set up some time, we can talk and counsel, whatever. Come. Share. We want to help. Father, we thank You for Your Word to us this morning. Lord, I don't know, Father, how all of this has been received, but I pray, Father, as we've been instructed in the Scripture, that we would be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of truth implanted in the hearts of Your children. Father, might it be watered, might it be nurtured, might it bear much fruit in our homes and lives this new year. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you as you go.